Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. The Paper Trail is screening at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, as part of the Berkshire International Film Festival on Sunday, May 31st at 1:30 in the afternoon. The documentary is about writers and people in the literary world talking about what they do, how they do it, what it means to them, and the future of writing and publishing. The Talking Head-style doc features luminaries and authors who are just starting out. We are joined now by the film's director, Kelly Carty, and the writer and producer, Jonathan B. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where did the seed for the film come from? Whose idea was it?
That's Jonathan.
All right.
I was at a coffee shop, and I was speaking to somebody who was a literary agent, and I said, oh, it seems like everybody in this Berkshire County area is in the literary world. It seems like we're in the epicenter here. Does everybody know one another? And the woman said, we all know of one another, but we don't necessarily all know one another. And that was sort of the light bulb moment of putting all these authors and writers and people in the literary world together in a documentary.
From noticing that fact, how did it become a documentary? Where did the idea to make it a film come from?
Well, I had a relationship with the people at the movie house in Millerton, New York, and we were always talking about ideas in the community. So I was always in my mind thinking it would be fun to do something again, bringing people together, you know, living in the country, living in these towns. We all try to do things that are very community-based. And the idea exploded. We had to actually stop soliciting people for the movie because we had 20 pretty immediately, mm-hmm. and realized, you know, we had to sort of cap it. But what's also unique about the experience is we got to go to these authors' homes, and I think that changes the interview too, because they're in their own environment, and that's sort of the special thing about doing this film in this area. And then Kelly was amazing. She conceptually, sort of when we worked on the material, thought about it in chapters, and her news background was amazing. And it was just a very synergetic thing that worked. Right, Kelly?
Yep. And we were lucky to have kind of just exactly the right kind of mix of people. So we had everyone from Susan Orlean, who of course has a couple of books and novels, and is a writer at the New Yorker, mm-hmm. and John Patrick Shanley, of course, who's a Pulitzer winner for Doubt, Academy Award for Moonstruck, and you know everybody to you know Spencer Reese, who writes for Wired, and Luke Sont, who teaches at Bard and has a critic for the New York Review of Books, and a lot of other you know really impressive heavyweights. And we were just lucky that our timing worked out. And, of course, Jonathan having a relationship with a lot of these people helped. And once we kind of had a few of the interviews done, it kind of got the ball rolling. And it's just, you know, we were lucky because it was something that everybody was interested in talking about because it's touched their lives how technology – I mean, nobody really wants to talk about technology per se, but it has affected their work. And it was – something that they were all concerned about, not only for themselves, but who the future readers and writers were going to be. And so that was able to give us kind of a storyline, a story arc to, you know, give it somewhere to go, kind of pointing towards the future. And that's where, you know, where the paper trail ends up is kind of talking about, we end up with some kids talking about, no, we still read books, we like books, we're going to keep books. And that was kind of the, you know, that there's kind of room for everything in the mix and concerns that people have about the, you know, some of the finer things that may get lost and some concerns, but really that storytelling is going to go on and it's, you know, it's going to be different, but the good parts of literature everybody wants to keep and nobody wants to be dismissive, and Twitter and technology and all kinds of social media are great tools. But reading is still reading and writing is still writing, and so that's, and it seemed like there was just a lot of grist for these different people to kind of, they came at it from different angles, from their process to, you know, their own, how they started and you know, the kind of work they were doing and how technology's touched on it. So it ended up, I was really happy with the way that the interviews turned out, and with a lot of documentaries, you know, you end up with a voiceover and a lot of background. And we were able to let the story sort of tell itself, which was great, too, because it's really a lot of natural sound. I mean, there isn't actually a voiceover in it. It's not narrated. It's these different, you know, sort of luminaries and influentials talking about how they feel about it, and also, you know, some young up and coming writers, and it's all their own voices and their own thoughts. And we were happy to be able to go with, you know, to go with it that way.
How did you decide what up and coming writers you would feature?
I was going to say one of the reasons is it's also based on location, because mm-hmm. we're really in being in the Berkshire Hills and in this area in Litchfield County as well. We you know, Rachel Spellman, Courtney Mom, these are people who lived in this area or live in this area, and you know, it was great to have their voice too, because a big thing for authors now, and when I had the idea of the film, I was thinking, oh, authors, they hide themselves in their houses and they probably will be socially awkward and you know, antisocial, and it was just the opposite, because now as an author, it's really important that you have your Twitter account and your Facebook and your followers, and they've all become very socially savvy, because you have to, even the big authors. I think that was one of the revelations in the film. And the other thing is that I invited a lot of friends to screenings that we've had, and some of them are not readers, and I thought, oh, they're going to be bored with the subject matter, but they loved it, and there's something exciting to hear any type of creative person talk about their craft and how they craft their thing, and each person has a different thumbprint in it.
And the younger people, Courtney and Deborah Feldman, Courtney, other people had suggested, we knew her book had just come out, in fact, it was at Oblong. And I just looked up, when I looked her up on Facebook, and saw she was doing a reading at Spotty Dog in Hudson, and it was great, because we were very low budget, so it wasn't like we were able to, like Jonathan said, a great part of the interview process was going to these people's homes and their work environments and talking to them, you know, where they worked. But it was great to get to go to a book reading with her, which is, you know, very much a feel of, you know, of how it is up, you know, up in the Berkshires, and you know, the those local book readings and bookstores are what are a very, you know, important component to all of these writers, and it was a young crowd going, and Deborah, who had lived in the city and, you know, had moved upstate. Jonathan, she's in Berlin, or is she back now? I mean, boy, she's
Berlin right now, yeah.
Yeah. So we were just lucky to get her while we did, but she had moved up there for the purpose that a lot of the writers do, that there's, you know, there's proximity to the city, and they're writers. They're going to write wherever they are, but there is a feeling of, you know, being up there, that it's a, you know, it's a creative environment, and you know, they don't all know each other, but there is certainly something to be said for, you know, for being up there and out of the city and having time to focus on your work, which was one thread that kind of went through most of the people that we talked to.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find those threads after you spoke to everybody?
Yeah, I mean, it evolved. We started with a set of questions. Susan Orlean was one of the first people we talked to. And other people kind of went off, you know, with a little bit of a different take, and it kind of it was an evolution. I mean, we didn't end up asking the same questions to, you know, to all of the authors by any means, and some of them, especially Luke Sont, because he teaches at Bard, and Steve Heller, because he teaches at SVA. Obviously, they had and Peter Richmond. They all picked up, especially on the notes about, you know, about the future and about their students. So that kind of evolved naturally from them being writers, but the future piece of it picked up because they were, you know, they're working with the next generation of writers and authors.
John Patrick Shanley talks about the future in terms of his kids, not his students. Did you find if people had kids that their take was a little bit different than if they only observed future writers in a classroom?
Well, we had to cut some of the comments people made about their kids because they were so candid. We were afraid it wouldn't actually be, you know, reflect well, because they were, and I'm not going to say who, but they were very candid about, oh my God, you know, I can't, you know, try and get them to read a book, you know, something like that. But they, but it's something that they're all very aware of, you know. So, So, but you know, they all kind of agreed the same that Shanley did, that they're their own people and they're going to find their own path to, you know, creativity and writing stories, and the tools have changed, and the process has changed some, but you know, it's an evolution, but there's just different ways to, you know, stories are always going to be told.
What are your post-BIFF hopes for the film?
Well, that's another thing that we found, that you know, we were really, really excited to be included in the Berkshire Festival. But we got, after we signed up, we got on some mailing lists, and I had no idea that film festivals are like as ubiquitous as Starbucks. I mean, we've been invited to stuff from everywhere, from Copenhagen to, you know, you can't even imagine. And this one was special because we wanted to, you know, again, this was the community who had, you know, been so supportive of us while we were doing the Kickstarter campaign and while we were shooting and everything. But we haven't tried to do much more on the documentary circuit. We've been mostly focusing on trying to get it placed on PBS, and we've gone a couple of rounds with them, and we haven't been successful in selling it anywhere yet. But we're hoping that the word of mouth and the exposure from BIFF may bring some more attention to it.
A lot of academics loved, you know, that they all came up to us when they'd seen the film and said, "Oh my God, I want to show this to my students. This is great." And I think there's just, like I said, there's this wonderful energy in the film that inspires you and makes you happy. There's no moment where you feel bored in this film, and it's not like we're doing something that's an action adventure. But there is that kind of passion that comes through on the screen from all of these authors that just makes you feel happy.
The Paper Trail is screening at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, as part of the Berkshire International Film Festival on Sunday, May 31st at 1:30 in the afternoon. Kelly Carty and Jonathan B., thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Once again, The Paper Trail is screening at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, as part of the Berkshire International Film Festival on Sunday, May 31st at 1:30 in the afternoon. At BIFF, the film is paired with It's Me, Hillary, The Man Who Drew Eloise, which is directed by Matt Wolff and co-produced by Lena Dunham. For more information, visit biffma.org, biffma.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.